Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I can tell from the sound I'm getting back that the microphone's working, so hopefully you can hear me very well. Have you ever come across the term vertigo? Yeah? What does it mean? Yeah, a lot of people often think that it's fear of heights or something like that, but vertigo is essentially a loss of balance. There was a guy who I knew at work, he suffered with it really, really badly. We got lots of corridors at work, and he'd be walking down the corridor and he'd be from one side to the other. His neighbours thought, before they found out, that the guy had got a drink problem, because he went out into his garden to do some gardening and he couldn't quite get to the bits that he was trying to trim. In fact, it was so bad that he actually had to finish work because of it. That's how bad it was. He was suffering from a loss of balance. I'm going to ask Julie to put a PowerPoint on that shows you the exact opposite of a loss of balance. This is a guy called Travis Horn. Okay? Just watch this. Okay, can you see there's a tyre and he's got two soft pads on top of the tyre and he's on top of those. And then he's got a tennis net. That is balance. That's impressive balance. That's balance so impressive that you sort of look at it and think, what? Balance is getting the point where one thing that's pulling you one way, one thing that's pulling you another, are exactly equaled out. And some people are better at it than others. And believe it or not, you can actually improve your balance by practice. And, you know, we can all balance to some extent or other. You know, if you can walk, you can balance, yeah? What happens when children start to learn to walk? First thing they do is fall over. Why? Because they haven't developed the sense of balance. Have you ever learnt to ride a bike? Have you ever fallen off a bike? Again, you're developing your sense of balance. And the ease obviously depends upon practice and skill. And we talk about having to balance lots of things in life. And Christians are no different. They've got lots of things that they have to balance. And tonight we're going to be looking at one of those subjects, one of those aspects that we've got to learn to balance. Initially, when we were created, we created physical and spiritual beings. And from what I can see, and this is only my thoughts, I can't actually prove this, but I believe that we're the only creatures that are spiritual and physical. You know, you've got the angels, the angelic beings, they're spiritual. You've got animals, and they're physical. Even God is a spirit, yes? It tells us in John chapter 4, 24, when Jesus is talking to the woman, and it says, God is spirit. And initially, we were created perfect, in perfect balance. We had the spiritual and the physical in perfect balance. We were, or they, not us, they, Adam and Eve, were aware of both realms, fully aware. They could work in both realms and communicate in both realms. But we all know that that changed. In the Good News version, Genesis 2, 15 to 17 says this, then the Lord placed the man in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and guard it. He told him, you may eat the fruit of any tree in the garden except the tree that gives a knowledge of what is good and what is bad. You must not eat the fruit of that tree. If you do, you will die the same day. And that's exactly what happened. There was a spiritual cutoff. The spiritual realm was suddenly something distant because the part of them that inhabited the spiritual side of things shriveled up and died, and they were cut off from communication. The perfect balance was lost, if you like, spiritual vertigo set in. They came crashing down on the physical side. You remember Travis Horn there on the tennis net, over. And that's affected everybody. In Ephesians 2:1, it says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins," or as the Good News puts it, "In the past you were spiritually dead." Colossians 2:13, "At that time you were spiritually dead because of your sins." Dead, without life, inanimate. And that's how people are these days. Before we become Christians, our spiritual life is non-existent. We live totally in the physical realm, and we live totally off balance. Adam and Eve felt the difference. We're unaware of it because that's how it is. It's like working with pictures instead of reality. As soon as you get reality, there's another dimension. A picture's flat, you've just got two dimensions. You can't get a depth to it. And that's how we are when we lose the spiritual side of things. We lose a dimension, we lose a realm. But God brings about the change. Ephesians 2:45 talks about God making us alive in Christ. It's echoed in Colossians 2:13. God, the life giver, gives us spiritual resurrection. It's almost as if you're in a spiritual coma, and suddenly God comes in, wakes you up, and you become alive to the spiritual side of things. Ephesians 5:14 says, "That's why it said, 'Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, Christ will shine on you.'" It's almost that immediate transformation takes place, and suddenly we're awakened, we're alive to the spiritual side of things. I might have said before, in fact I have, the morning after I was saved, I was looking out on the scene around me, and it looked all different. That's because another dimension had been added, the spiritual dimension. Suddenly, I was seen with fresh eyes. You might have come across the term, depends whether you're really teching, geeky, augmented reality. Augmented reality. And what that is where you get a computer-generated image overlaying the real thing. Generally seen, you know, Google Glass and stuff like that, eyewear, you get something else shown, almost like a computer screen in front of you. Sometimes you get it in modern aircraft, they call it a heads-up display, a HUD, yeah? You're looking out through the cockpit, you can see everything around you, but other things are projected on there as well. The US Army are experimenting with augmented reality for their military. And the idea is that all the soldiers will wear these goggles, these glasses, so they can see through, see the field, see where they are, see the houses, see the enemy, etc. But overlaid onto that is information that's being gathered from drones that are flying over the battlefield, through ultrasound that's being sent out, and then that information is fed back into them. Each soldier wears a transponder, so that as you're looking round and you see somebody, it could light up either blue if it's friendly, or red if it's not. You can get to a stage where you don't have to send somebody out to get shot to find out where the enemy is. The drone overhead will tell you, and it's relayed through to you, and you can see. You know that waiting for you around the corner, there's the enemy. It's augmented reality. It's additional information. It's more than what you would have without it. And when we get switched on in the spiritual sense, we get an augmented reality. We get extra information. We get extra connectivity, if you like. We're aware of more. There's more information. There's more available because we're not just working in the physical realm. So that might sound a bit geeky. Let's give you a real down-to-earth example. Jesus was at a well. A woman came along, and he knew that first of all, she'd had five husbands, and the man that she was living with wasn't her husband now. He just knew that. He'd been supplied with this additional information. He hadn't detected it. He didn't know. He hadn't done any research. This was just put into his mind. Or how about the confrontation? Well, not confrontation, but the meeting with Nathaniel. Philip went to see him, And when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching him, he said, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." And Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus said, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree." Well, that word that's translated "saw" can mean become aware of. Because you see, he said, "Here is an Israelite in whom there is no guile." Well, you can't actually look at somebody and just see that they're guileless, can you? But you can be made aware of it. You see, extra information was supplied to Jesus that told him what Nathanael's character was like. He was tapped into the spiritual side of things and he got the extra information. Or how about in Matthew 21, where Jesus says to the disciples, "Go to the village ahead of you. You'll find a donkey tied there with a colt beside it. Untie them and bring them back to me." How did he know that? Had he sent out scouts in advance? No. He'd been given the information from the spiritual side of things, from God the Father. Jesus was working with this augmented reality. He was working the physical and the spiritual realms. More information than he could naturally have found out. It's fantastic what he could know. It's fantastic the information that was conveyed to him. But it even went beyond the information. Because as we access this other realm, there's access to power. Healing the sick, raising the dead, controlling nature. This was tapping into the spiritual side of things. This was the extra power that was available. This is the other realm that balances out the physical. But some people will turn around and say, "Well, that was Jesus." In John 14:12, Jesus said, "Verily I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing." Not might, not could, but will. But then he goes even further and he says, "And even more, even greater, even better." If Jesus hadn't said it, you'd think, "Well, that's heresy." But Jesus said, we would be able to do greater, better things than him. So there's information available and there's power available. And it's available to us. It's available to each person here tonight. This information and this power, this spiritual realm is opened up and we can have that augmented reality. When I spoke a few weeks ago, I said there's a simple test to discover just how far into the spiritual realm you've progressed. Anybody remember what that simple test is?
What does it take for you to pray?
What does it take for you to pray? When you're in your ordinary everyday life and something happens, at what point do you pray about it? If there's a fantastic sort of enormous crash, do you think, "Oh God, help"? Or if somebody says they're having a bit of bother, do you pray at that point? The point, the difficulty that gets you to pray shows you how far into the spiritual realm you've progressed. Because if you are so naturally working in the spiritual realm, almost anything will get you to pray about it. Do you understand? Yeah? Not only that, but the more you pray about things, the more spiritual discerning you become. The more sensitive you become, and the more you pray about other things. So you see, it actually works that way as well. It tells you how far you've got into the spiritual realm, but it also helps you to progress into the spiritual realm. Because spiritual activities develop our spiritual life. Our spiritual activities are primarily the prayer and reading the Word of God. We read, we meditate, and we're washed with the spiritual truths. It's a corrective and it shows what's possible. Our prayer is communicating in the spiritual realm. Talking, listening, what's God saying? The word's needed because what sort of things does God say? What sort of things does God do? It directs our thinking, it gives us the right frame of mind so that when we pray and we do get feelings, we get voices, it shows us where the voice is coming from. Because if it lines up with the word, it's God. And what we are aiming to do is have a life balance between the physical realm and the spiritual realm. You see, it's so easy, because that's how we're born, to simply exist in the physical realm, what can see, hear, touch, taste, etc. It's what we're used to. It's what we know best. It's important, and we can't neglect it. It's reality. We need to live in it, and we receive directions for doing exactly that. The word is corrective. It corrects our wrong behavior continually for each one of us. Me, for you. God is speaking to us and showing us how we ought to be. That's a lot, and it never stops. But if we stayed at that point, we're missing out. We're imbalanced. Because we then have to work in the spiritual realm too. We have to access this additional knowledge and power, this direction. We access it to redress our messed up balance. We're moving closer towards where we ought to be. You know, when Travis Horn first started, he started with baby steps. The first act of balancing that he did was learning to stand up, just like us. And sometimes working in the spiritual realm initially needs baby steps. You don't start balancing on a tennis net. You begin by standing up and then by walking. God wants us to have access to this knowledge and this power. He said, "You will do these works." God wants what we would class as supernatural and extraordinary to be ordinary. He wants what we consider, "Wow, that's amazing," to be, "Yeah." How does he speak? Sometimes it's a voice, sometimes it's thoughts. Sometimes it's just a feeling that you can't really explain, but you simply know. I've never had an audible voice. I've had thoughts that are really powerful. You know, one time I was going to work on the bike. I was in a 40 mile an hour zone. I was heading towards some traffic lights, and as I got to them, they turned to green. So I just rolled the throttle off a little bit and then continued. As I got to these lights, which was, I don't know, 20, 30 seconds after the change to green, the thought, very strong thought, came into my mind, what would you do if you knew there was a car coming across your path now? I thought, well, I'd brake. And the thought came to me incredibly strongly, brake. And I did. I performed an emergency stop. And as the front of the bike dipped, and I came to a halt just in front of those lights, a car came straight through doing 40 or 50 mile an hour. If I hadn't have braked, I'd have been wrapped right around the front of that. That was information to which I had no access other than through the spiritual realm. And God wants to speak to us. God wants to give us that extra information. Sometimes it might be just a feeling. You just, I don't know, feel uneasy about something and something's got to go. Different strengths. Can't quite put your finger on it. But as we respond to those feelings, they will become easier to recognize. Maybe as we're talking to someone, we become aware of something and we feel that perhaps we've got to pray for them or we've got to talk to them. Perhaps as we're praying, God prompts us to pray for something else. There are various examples, but one I know of is a woman who, in the middle of the night, about 1:30 in the morning, was woken up and she felt she had to pray for a certain missionary that she normally prayed for. And she did. Then went back to sleep. Some months later, when this missionary was back off furlough, he mentioned about this time when he'd been in a very dangerous situation and God had intervened. And it was the same date as this woman had got up in the night to pray. And then they actually worked out the time difference, and the exact moment that she was roused from her slumbers was a time when he was in difficulty. And it's learning to respond to this augmented reality, this knowledge, to access this power that God wants to make available to us. You know, sometimes it might be simple as somebody says something and you feel prompted to say, "I'll pray for you." Sometimes it's as simple as that. Other times God can drop something into our minds about a situation and we can pray about it, or maybe we can even talk to somebody about it. Perhaps you've just felt that you need to go somewhere for some feeling reason that you can't really explain, but you really need to go there. That once happened to me. I was in the house and I just felt that I needed to get in the car and drive to this particular location. And I sat there for a while thinking, that's stupid. That's just no point in doing that. Then, I don't know whether you've ever felt it, but when God sometimes speaks to you, you get sort of hot and bothered under the collar. And you think, I've got to do this. So I just drove off to this particular place, and sure enough, just as I arrived there in the car, this guy walked up who'd been associated with the church, who was in difficulty, and we just met at exactly the right time. You see, God can even put into his timing the fact that you're going to say no initially. This is stupid. God wants to work with us. It's not special to me. It's not special to somebody who's a leader. It's not special to somebody who's some sort of super spiritual saint. This is all of us. Jesus said, "These things you will do." And it's really down to the fact that, do we want to? We have an augmented reality that's working in us to reset the balance that we've lost, to bring back the spiritual side of things. The knowledge and the power is available for each one of us, and we need to access it. It's an open invitation. It's there. It's available. You don't have to perform some superb act. You don't have to go through some majestic training course, spend thousands getting it. You simply have to start to pray, "God, use me." And that power and that knowledge is available. We're in the physical realm, but we need to access the spiritual realm to redress the balance, to be what God has called us to be, children of God who are alive to the Spirit of God.